Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Ms. J.
Hey!
And before I bring Ms. J on, I would like to say that Uplifting Community Talk Show, pray for the people in Florida that everything be all right with them. I know Ms. J, she's in Florida herself, and, you know, I hope safety to you and your family, Ms. J. But with that said, I'm going to bring Ms. J on. Hey, Ms. J.
Thank you. Thank you, John. And I'm sorry, guys, I'm a little off key here with this weather thing. But I'd like to welcome Ms. Whitney Livings. She does
How
a
you
lot
doing?
Of, yes, she does a lot of great things in the community. And we're going to let her tell a little bit about herself, and then we're going to go with our normal procedure of just, you know, talking to her and letting the community know what she's doing and asking her the right questions. So, Ms. Whitney, tell them a little bit about you before me and John get started.
Okay. First of all, thank you guys for the platform and the opportunity. I think that it's a beautiful thing that you're reaching out to people to know exactly what they're doing to uplift and to encourage the community. But for me, myself, my name is Whitney Living. I am a native of Baton Rouge, but now I'm currently living in Lafayette with my husband, my son, and I'm currently pregnant with a young lady right now. So I am just someone that seeks out situations to try to help other people. If anyone's taken the initiative to kind of read the information that I sent to you guys and what you sent out into the world and posted, my life has been a little bit tumultuous, but I've taken those situations and used that as gas and a propeller to move me forward to try to figure out what I can do with what I've learned in my life to help other people. So that's all I'm really trying to do at this point.
Yeah, you know, I like to watch the Master Class, and I love to watch that show because everybody's life has a story that somebody can learn something from. And, you know,
yes,
so you have taken your lemons and made lemonade.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I think that's pretty awesome. One of the things I found out, you know, doing the bio is that you're a police officer. And
well, the thing was, I've actually gotten out of it. I was in criminal justice. I didn't go actual law enforcement. But yes,
oh, okay. Okay. So when you started studying criminal justice, I should say, when you got into law, because I was reading it said law enforcement, so I assume officer. My that was on me. That's my bad. But what made you go in that direction, considering, you know, that you could have took a lot of choices? Well, what made you, you know, study that?
Well, my first degree is in journalism. So I went to Southern University in Baton Rouge, and I obtained my Bachelor of Arts. And in doing that, I thought about being an actual journalist on TV, broadcast journalism, all that, and I got kind of deterred with it because everything you saw was negative. And I thought, okay, what can I do? How can I go back in grad school and do something to where I can have a voice in what people are doing and try to help them to better themselves? So I wanted to go into the criminal justice field to be a voice for them, to kind of be a mediator between those who are not abiding by the law and those that are trying to get them to.
Yeah. And we really do need that, especially with all that's going on with the police officers, not all of them, but the road officers, I should say, and in the community, especially, you know, the minority communities, the black communities and Hispanic communities are really getting a lot of blunt of you know, of that brutality. And so I think that's awesome. No,
yeah,
oh, go ahead, John. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. Well, first I wanted to ask you a question, Ms. J, because I want the audience to know that you are right. So how is you and your family doing in the storm over there in Florida? Is y'all, you guys okay?
Yeah, so far we're going to get the hard part during the night. So we're told it's going to go up to like 70 miles an hour. I'm watching the news as I do the show. And so I prepared us. So all the rest of it is on God. And so, you know me, I walk in that faith. So I don't,
Amen.
I can't worry about things I have no control over. I just do my best. And then the rest, I just have to let it go. But I thank you for asking.
Okay. Yes. Well, I just wanted to let, you know, you to let the audience know that you and your family is okay. Okay, that's my main concern. But back to you, Miss Whitney. I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
The audience, what made you go into viewing books?
Well, I have to be honest about this. Right before I left the criminal justice field, I just woke up one night and I actually wrote a book, and not a lot of people know that. And in thinking about it, everybody has a story.
Yes,
and even
do.
If you're not writing a memoir or you're not writing a biography, you're writing about your insight. You're writing about what your heart's contentment is. You're writing about things that matter to you. And I think when you put it out into the world, it's your gift. So I just wanted to kind of broadcast that and see how I could bring a little bit of my personality and my insight to what other people write to give it to others and try to bless them with it as well.
That's really awesome. You have a quote that says, "Life is listening," and I wanted to know what does that mean to you?
Life is listening.
I was impressed with it. I mean, personally, I was like, "Wow, that's so true." But I had my intake, you know, what it meant to me. But I'd like to know what I love that quote, and I just like to know what it means to you.
Life's listening. It's a little. I'm a very, very outspoken person, and I'm kind of bubbly. I don't know if you guys can tell through the phone, but life's listening for me is just about, you know what, when you hear things, just in life, when you hear things, it makes a difference in what you do, what you say, how you feel, your personality, how you move forward. So if you're giving your life the right things to hear, then you're going to move in a positive or negative direction. So always be aware of the fact that what you're doing, your life itself is listening to it. And that's how you're going to be able to move forward. And it's up to you to put the right things into your own life's ear, you know?
Yeah. I love that quote, Matter. I just loved it. So I had to ask because that is so true. I think when I saw it, I was thinking something similar. You know, I was thinking that each one of our lives is a story, you know?
Yes.
And as we live it, we're telling a story, whether we know it or not, we are. And if we're listening to the things outside of our story, sometimes it can be a distraction, you know. So we have to listen to our own voice and our own story. You know what I mean? Like, because we all have value.
That is a beautiful interpretation. Beautiful interpretation. I love it, Miss J. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that quote.
Yes, I like that too. But, you know, the reason why I'd ask you that is because, you know, in the families back in the 50s and 60s, and some of it was in the 70s, there was a lot of secrets in the family.
Mm.
But now there's more people, you know, revealing the secrets, but they're revealing it through writing books, through books.
Yeah.
You find more African-American authors now than ever before. You know, and they writing about their stories. They're writing about other subjects. They're writing about the communities. It's just so much. They're writing uplifting books. you know, how to do books. So it's so many things, and you come right along at the right time and be able to help people in the communities, you know, that's authors, help them get their book out, help other, you know, people that, you know, to know about their books. And I think that's a blessing. I think that's a blessing within itself.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Piggyback on John. Also, I think it's awesome because there's so many indie authors out there right now that don't get the proper recognition because they're not a celebrity. You know, like, and it can get discouraging, you know. Celebrities, they can pull their book out, and just because of their name, it goes, you know, to the top. And then you have someone else who's telling better story, but a story equally.
Some of these books that I'm reading are amazing.
Yes. That don't get any recognition at all. So it gives them an opportunity to, like John said, get the voice out, but it also let people know that it's out there. You know, if we don't work together and communicate and sharing each other's information, it never gets out there. So I think that's one of the things I like about your visual literacy is because
living literacy,
out there. And not only do you know, and I've seen John's because I shared John's because you did John's book, and you know, so I always tell people they're sleeping on that book, you know, because a lot of people. You know, we do the talk show, and a lot of people think that's all we do. Me and John do a whole bunch of other things. But that particular book, I think, especially in this time that we're living in, is something that really should be out in a lot of places because it is telling a true story, you know, and it has a lot of information there to help people as well. So, you know, I think, you know, what you're doing is also you're telling the author's story so other people can get interested in the book, and I think that's major as well.
Yeah, I think the thing about it is, and what I'm noticing, even with Mr. John's book, is there's a lot of information that me being born in 1985, I wouldn't necessarily know, and what you get from a school book is exactly what they want you to get from it. And it doesn't really give you the insight that you need from someone that went through wars and that went through situations and their personal accounting of life. And that's where the bridge comes in. There's a bridge that needs to happen. And me being, you know, a 30-year-old mother, I can be that for some people. Not for everybody, but for some people. Yeah. And that's all I want to do.
Yeah, because everything is not for everybody. You know, so, you stay in your lane, you know. Help those that want to be helped or those that are open to the help. And again, that, like you said, it mends some of those bridges that we have because we do have a big disconnect as a community on a lot of levels. And so, you know, doing something like that helps with that disconnect.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I like about it, so, you know, I'm just amazed how you, and you done did several book reviews.
Yeah, I just did my 10th one.
Okay, as you said, and every last one of them, you know, you can go up in there and you can find, you read it and you can find the positive and things in those books that can make differences in people's lives. And that's powerful. Not too many people have the ability to do that.
It means the world to me to hear that, not only from someone else, but someone whose book I've reviewed. I think that at the end of the day, if you go into a book and you're just looking to, quote unquote, critique it, then you're really not making people want it. I think that every book, no matter what genre or who it's coming from or why they even wrote it, it has something that can help you to be a better person, to give you progression and productivity, to move forward in your life. So that's all I'm just looking for. What is it they can get? I may not like every chapter or everything they've said. I may not agree upon it all. But there's something I can grow with. I can grow with something. One of these chapters is going to give me something. One of these quotes is going to give me something to where I can bless somebody else and they can bless others as well.
Yeah. Now, I know you do the books, but you also you know, work with those incarcerated. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I know that you do some work with them. What is that that you actually do with them?
Well, I haven't done it in a while, and that was actually when I was still with the sheriff's office out here. I've worked with a lot of different areas. I was a in-home counselor for kids 11 to 17, so that's kids as well as their parental figures. I went inside the home, and I made sure I sat down with them and kind of counseled them a bit. I was over the reentry program, which gave skills to people that were leaving out of, you know, jail situations and going back into the community to kind of help them to be better people, to change their mindsets. I was also working with the prison ministry out there for a while because I think that that's a very, very key component. But since being away, I'm now in the education system, so I have a whole
– Hello?
I'm working within middle schools, and that's kind of the most impressionable – age for kids, so I'm
really
very
is.
Very ecstatic to be doing that.
Yeah, it really is, because that's when they're trying to discover who they are.
Yes.
As individuals.
Yes.
So that is,
yes,
a really, yeah, that's the age I like. And in high school, I like big kids. I'm too rough for the babies, but
can't do the ones that need naps.
Yeah. Because I'm a straight shooter too. And they look at me like, "What is Miss J talking about?" Now I do great with them safety. You know, and then sometimes I got to pull back, like, they're only seven. Pull back.
Yeah, no. The thumbs are still in their mouths. You can't do anything with them.
No, you can't do nothing with the babies. But that's a great age. what are some of the things you are learning now that you're working with the middle school kids? What are some of the challenges that you see the most?
I think self-identity. You touched on it when you said that they're learning themselves. I think that self-identity and limitation.
Wow.
Because even though you have rules established in schools, of course they're going to test it, but it's not just them testing the rules, it's them testing themselves.
Yes.
So it's figuring out who they are and figuring out what they're actually capable of.
Yeah.
Those two key components are very, very imperative for them right now, and I'm learning that. It's kids that you see that are problematic elsewhere, and I'm the in-school suspension facilitator. I'm the person that kind of helps with the discipline. So for me, when they come to me, it's like, oh, they're bad kids, but I don't have any trouble. They come in my room, they do what I ask, and it's all about respect and consistency. I give them that, they give me that back, and we have no problems. And moving forward, I can have that conversation with them.
Yeah, it's a mutual respect with you. They prompt,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Yeah. And I think sometimes as adults, we want to be dictators, and it doesn't always work. You know, some kids,
no.
But most kids, it doesn't work. Because it makes kids resentful, and they
right.
they what they're gonna do to prove you wrong.
Yeah.
So they may be wrong, but they don't know it because they're babies. But they want to prove their point.
Yeah, and the
mm-hmm.
thing is, some of these kids don't have a voice elsewhere.
That's right.
We don't know what it looks like when they pack up their book sacks, go home, and eat, don't eat, sleep, don't sleep. We have no idea what that looks like. So giving them respect and consistency is something that they may not be experiencing anywhere else outside of the 8-9 hours that they're with you. So it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And I think that everything that I've done professionally before this and me even doing the book reviews now, it helps me to be able to kind of converse with them and get on their level enough for them to respect me, but also know that I am an authoritative figure.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted, you had mentioned that, and I wanted to, before you mentioned about the sheriff department, about you working with the kids
mm-hmm.
and stuff, I wanted to ask you this
mm-hmm.
here. What do you think? Do you think that is economics plays a role with the way the kids are acting today, or is just the way the homes are ran by the family?
Mm-hmm. I think that it's a combination of the two, and let me tell you why I say that. Because economically, if you don't have enough resources in areas where there aren't any, then people are going to find negative resources themselves. And then if you go home and there's no resources there either in parental figures and support, then that's going to cause problems as well. So if we can have resources and parental figures, you put those together, I think that you can have a better system of children.
Yeah. And
because,
I also,
because if there's no after school, yeah.
The programs have been cut. A lot of programs are being
right.
cut.
That's what I was about to say.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. There's not much. And then even if you do have the sports, sports can only take a certain number of kids.
That's right.
So then what?
Mm.
So then what? So I think that right now the way that things are set up, it's set up in some areas, in the low economic areas, for things not to be as affirmative. But it also takes that person, and I can speak from experience. For me, I come from the slums, the hood, the ghetto, okay? And it was in my mind to not want to see that same atmosphere at 12 that I'm now seeing at 31. I had to do something different. So I think that when you have people like teachers, because I got a lot of my affirmative outlook from teachers, when you have people that are coming into your life that spend a little bit of time with you, they have to be positive people as well. Because once they're positive and they give you insight that looks different than what you go home to, you'll probably, in my situation, I did want differently. And I'm grateful to God and people that were in my life that actually said, Whitney, you can. You know, so those things play a part of it, but it's not everything. I think you have to also have the personal decision to do something different than what you come from.
Yeah, I was talking to a young guy. I don't know why guys and girls talk to me, but this young guy told me that he was sitting around some friends and they were all just like getting high. This particular day, he wasn't getting high with them. And he was just looking at them, you know, and he said to himself, it's got to be something better.
Right.
And I think when we, as adults, put that light in those children, it gives them an option to think it has to be something better. Because a lot of times we are where we live. So we got to encourage them. That's why I push books, because it encourages imagination, encourages, you know, to think.
Yes.
And we have to encourage them to think outside of where they're living, because there's something bigger outside of them. And they have to believe that they belong in that world as well as the world they're currently living in.
That's huge. That's huge. Because some people don't think they fit in other areas. So that right there, Ms. J, is huge. Like, I got a chill when you said it. Oh, my Jesus.
Well, Ms. J is an author as well. She's the author of Afro Man, The Protector. I think I'm saying it right, Ms. J?
Yeah.
And, it is a very famous book. I mean, all over.
Come on, Ms. J, I'm right here.
John trying to pump me up. No, you know, I love kids. I've always loved kids. So my priority is always the little ones. If I can catch you early, then we're doing our job. Because once people are set in their ways, and I've dealt with teenagers too. I work with a lot of children at risk, teens and families at risk. Once the teens are almost adults, they're set in their ways. It's very hard to break that.
It's very hard. Very hard.
You can get them started, you know, a little early, you know, acknowledging that they are great. Like, people used to get on my case. I used to tell my son, I call him Boss. And he says, why you nickname your son Boss? I said, because I want him to know when he grow up, he in charge. I didn't want him to be an employee. I wanted him to be the boss. And so I used
That's
to always say that my
it,
mentor said, you just think too much of your kids. But it wasn't that. I had nothing else at the time as a single mother to offer them but that. You know what I mean? I had to make sure I speak light into them, because there was nobody else's job outside of mine to speak light into my own kids. So
who are they to even say that you can't speak that upon your kids? You should be telling them you're amazing, you're a boss, you can do anything.
I know, but when you're used to it yourself, you don't get it. There's a lot of broken adults out there as well.
God bless them, babe.
Yeah, so you got to understand, like, sometimes things seem like, you know, you're arrogant or you're because you're not used to it. No one ever spoke that to you, so you don't think that's necessary for living, because you're still got, you know what I mean? So you have to, I always got to meet people where they are at that time in their life. So I respect that's where they were in their time in their life. And then this is where I am in my life, so I'm going to do me and you do you. You know, we have to do that. You know, because sometimes we're quick to judge, but people are, we just got to meet people where they are in their life. You know, and sometimes it's not a good spot, and sometimes it's a great spot. But as far as the little people, I think as extended family, because I always say it takes a village, as extended family, if we all just did a little bit, we would have a better connection with the young people. Because, like you said, they're hungry for somebody to listen. They want somebody. They want somebody to punish them. And not in a bad way, but, like, call them out on their behavior. They want that, you know, but we are so busy living, I think, sometimes as adults, we forget about life.
Oh.
Right.
You need to start putting these things in hashtags and getting them out there, because you're killing me, Ms. J. Like, you're touching my spirit right now. You really are.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I want to let the audience know you're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and our special guest on today is Ms. Whitney T. Living. If you guys want to ask her a question or elaborate on something, please press 1, and we will let you in, okay? And matter of fact, we have somebody already pressed 1. Would y'all like to listen in?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Let's let them in. Hello, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
Tommy Cole, Lake Charles, Louisiana.
All right.
Hey, John.
Hello, Mr. John L. Brown and Mrs. Jay Allen. And also,
hey,
hello
Tommy.
To your special guest, Ms. Living. Ms. Living, right?
Hi.
Yes,
Ms. Living.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, look, I want to give a compliment to you there, because you did John's book there, and boy, you brought out some very powerful information off his book there, and you made it really even more attractive. And I really liked it, that man. And it takes a talented person to go and go through someone else's writing and bring out the best of it, man. That's pretty awesome. Did you go to school for this?
I have my first degree in journalism, and I have my master's in criminal justice. But I've always enjoyed English. Like, English has always been, like, quote-unquote, my thing. I love reading. I love writing. I think I write better than I read, which is kind of crazy, but I do. I do. I love it, and I appreciate the compliment so much.
Yes, ma'am. But, hey, I saw it. It's very powerful now. So you keep that good work up, too. And, Ms. J, I know that the weather's pretty tough up there where you are. You know, hopefully everything blows over and everyone is safe.
Thank you, Mr. Tommy.
No pun intended.
Okay, you're welcome. Take care, guys.
All right, bye.
Yeah,
have a good one.
Thank you, Tommy, for calling in. Tommy is the host for Uplifting Community Talk Show Louisiana. And, all right. Thank you, Tommy,
right.
for calling in. So,
you're welcome.
Yeah,
you know it.
All right.
I'm going to have to get with Tommy, too. Tommy needs to call me.
All
yeah,
right.
Ma'am. We get a chance to talk with us more.
Add me on Facebook, Whitney T. Living. I'll get you in real quick.
Okay, we'll contact you on your Facebook page.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
At everything, I'm crazy. But, so moving on, you know, like Tommy said, you did, like I mentioned earlier as well, you did a great job with John. When you're looking at other people's information and you're interpreting it so that you can give it that light, what are some of the strategies that you use? I mean, because like you mentioned earlier, you don't go through it. I know you don't dissect it, you know, looking for what's wrong with it. That's one of the things you don't do. But what are some of the other things that you do to make you able to tell their story for them?
I think the most important part, and I've said this in a couple of my reviews, is I love to start with the acknowledgments, and get the reason why. I think if you look at someone's acknowledgments and they say thank you to certain groups of people in certain situations, when you get that, it's kind of the foundation for me, because then I know your why. I know where your heart was with it. Then I just start reading information. I love to go through the table of contents and see what the different chapters are named. And if it's a story of someone's autobiography, I want to know about that. I just did this is the first famous person I did this week, Taraji P. Henson, and I didn't go through any avenue other than auto books. because that's the new thing with me. If I'm going to hear or if I'm going to know your story, I want to hear it directly from you. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear the emotions. I want to hear the stories. So I think whenever I'm able to really get in and find a good story or find a good quote or find a good area that relates to me, then I move forward. I don't really have anything specific that I do other than read and allow God to kind of guide me. And where my heart gets really, really, you know, fast and paced, that's when I know I'm onto something and I know that I'm reading something that can possibly bless somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's those moments.
I also do a lot of public speaking.
Yes.
Who do you?
I love talking.
Huh?
I say I love talking. Talking is like it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, who you? What audience you try to? You know, you try to focus on what you know the age bracket is, because you say you're about what 31.
I will I will be 32 in December, and I'm proud of it.
Oh, you 31? I'm just kidding, but anyway,
yeah, I'm almost there.
Younger people normally try to reach younger people, but they have some younger people is open to reach everybody. Which one are you? You try to reach younger people or everybody?
Everybody. I think that when you've been gifted with a voice, there should be no limit on what you allow yourself to do.
Right.
The thing about it is I may not know what a 60-year-old knows in terms of experience. But again, like Ms. J said, everybody has a story, so I can possibly say something that encourages you to have a differentiation and outlook. And if I've done that with one person in a room full of 100, I've done my job. So I will talk to anybody who has the capacity to hear. That's just me. It's always been, always will be. I will talk to you if you want me, if you need me, if I'm desired in any way. I will talk to you, and I will try to figure out what I can say to be compelling enough to move you forward in a positive direction.
Absolutely. I believe that, too. I don't believe in a set target audience. You know, now with my book, of course, it's for kids, but when I'm speaking, I believe that every story that there's a story that I have that can benefit somebody. And I agree with you. Because if we tell our stories, we don't know what else somebody else is going through or somebody else's son or daughter. You may be 30, but my daughter's 30. So maybe you're going through something. I can say, I'm going to tell my daughter that.
Mm-hmm.
A blessing to everybody.
I never thought of it because of my age, you know what I mean? Or how I view life, or because where I'm at in my life, I sometimes, as we get older, we don't, I don't want to disrespect older people, but sometimes as we get older, we get set in our ways. We think our way is the only way. And we lose the ability to communicate effectively. So I think that's awesome that you don't have a target audience, because there is something in your life, even if it's your childhood, it's been somebody at 60 or 70 that probably had a similar childhood but did not think about it the way you thought about it. You use it as a tool to uplift.
Yes, ma'am.
They may be still struggling with it. So maybe you can say something. Yes, they go, man, that's how I should have did it. And you could pull somebody older out the dark.
And that's right there is what I live to do.
You know, that's right. You're 100% right, Ms. J. And the reason why I asked you that, Ms. Whitney, is because a lot of young people feel intimidated with older people, especially if they've experienced a lot. Especially if they haven't been there. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, I lost a lot of blessings by young people because they was intimidated by me. And I know this, you know, because I'm a Vietnam veteran. You know, I have a Purple Heart. I've been to Vietnam 3 times.
Wow.
Fought in combat, you know, and made it through. And, you know, God still blessed me with my insanity, with my sanity, you know. And I used to intimidate when I would talk to them, you know, and I'll get, you know, they'll get intimidated. And the success I didn't have, you know, and I kind of like pulled away from, and I don't talk too much about my experience in life and things like that, is because there's a lot of younger people. It's on the internet, on social media, because you guys are, I don't know, y'all must have been born with that gift, you know, and you get people my age bracket. We're not on that. Most of the time, the people in my age bracket is, you know, they preachers. They deacons in church.
John, I mean, heard y'all. What y'all know?
Yeah.
Hey, on the side, you know, but like me, still, you know, communicating with the younger generation is because, hey, you got the younger generation is the, you know, that's the future. And I got to give them some knowledge. So when you stop giving young people knowledge, something is a problem there. And I'm not talking about the preachers. I'm not talking about the deacons in church. But I think more of them should start reaching out to the young people.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of people are closed off in their listening. You know, they may see you as an older person and feel like you can't relate. And I think that's where you just find persistence in your conversation. And you say, you know what, this is what I have to offer, and you're going to hear me. Even if you only get one morsel of what I'm saying, you're going to hear me. I think that if you're just moving forward in your purpose, and your purpose is to be that guiding light for somebody else, you don't dim your light ever.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter if someone's older than me, younger than me, same age as me. If I have something that has been placed on my heart, I'm giving it. Take it or leave it. That's on
you.
You know
what?
And
that's a great point. Because I used to have some friends. They said your light's so bright, you're blinding me. I said, well, girl, get you some sunglasses because I ain't dimming it. And so you have to understand, John, that you may intimidate one or two, but it may be five that get you.
Amen.
Because a lot of young people are at war on the streets.
Yes, they are.
A lot of things that you have experienced, even though it's war in Vietnam, it still can benefit some of these young cats that are on the street that's in war. So,
right.
So I'm not, you know, trying to tell you to do, you know, I do tell you what to do all the time. I apologize, but I do. But I'd be fussing. I like it like I'm a baby sister. But you have something that can benefit somebody. So, you know, that is, I'm just saying you should not stop because you have something that will benefit somebody. I don't stop, but I have a great, for some reason, young people like me. They think I'm funny. But what I do is I stay connected. And, you know, I stay involved. I learn what's going on. You know, I chat with some of these millenniums. You know, I probably say that wrong, but whatever. Some of these young folks, I chat with them. I see what they're talking about. And then after a while, they get comfortable with you. They start talking. You start talking. They start listening. But when we get afraid in a certain way, it's still like a fear, you know, because, like, you stop. But it does have something to do with fear as well. But when we let that fear take over, you block your purpose. So you have to step out of that. Even if you got to do your purpose in fear until you're comfortable, do your purpose.
Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, no. I think you misinterpreted what I was saying because I'm not afraid of anything.
Well,
you
stop doing it. So whether it's fear, it has something to stop it, whatever it is, it always boils down to fear. Even if it's not like shaking fear, it boils down to some type of insecurity that made you uncomfortable to stop it. So whatever that was, stay in, even if you got to feel insecure about it or hesitant about it, whatever you want to call it, do it in that place. Just don't stop doing it.
Yeah, you're right, Ms. J. You're right. You're 100% right on that. Yeah, but I just was trying to make a point, you know, with Miss Whitney. And it's good that she's open to all for all ages. And because a lot of people, you know, they have their target mark. They target certain people. And a lot of it has to do with age.
Right.
And that's so beautiful that you can go in and talk to someone 85 years old or 90 years old or 100 years old, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
and feel comfortable, feel good about doing that. I'm not saying I'm 85 or 90, you know, I'm way from that. But what I'm saying is that's great. But when I was out there, well, then once I started telling people my experience, well, then a lot of people liked it to hear, but they couldn't recognize what I was coming through because, like, I know Whitney don't remember this. I remember back in Louisiana in Lake Charles and in Lafayette and Opelousas. I was born in Lawtail, and I remember the times as though they had black only, colored only water fountains.
I was born in 85. No, I wasn't there.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, don't scare me. I'm just playing.
I was not there.
Like a lot of people don't like to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like to talk about that. They sweep stuff like that under the rug. But that they should talk about it. And the reason for that is going to let you know that this is how far we have came. You know? I mean, the opportunities that we have, and Miss Whitney is taking advantage of these opportunities by going and talking. I mean, it's not like trying to start some trouble, but that's what a lot of people might say. Well, you're talking about black only, colored on the water fountain. Oh, you're trying to start some trouble. But no, you're not trying to start no trouble. You're just trying to, you know, uplift people. You're trying to uplift people's spirit, people's soul. You know, and supposed to let people know how far we came.
Right.
So that way they, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's
I think the thing is, making
a great point.
The thing is, like, for me, my grandfather, I'm blessed enough to still have quite a few of my grandparents around through my mother and my father. And my grandfather actually just turned 83 on the 4th. He's given me all these stories. So even though I wasn't there, he's painted vivid pictures of situations and, you know, whenever the Klan would come by, when there were situations, because he's from Washington, Louisiana. So it's like he gave me all this insight, and I'm blessed enough to do it. So I feel like in situations I've had, in hardships I've had, you know, in education I had, in people that have instilled things in me, I can give that to other people who may have had it or may have not had it. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's just a benefit for me. It's just a benefit for me to be able to do it, and it's a blessing. And I take every opportunity of anyone that listens to be able to talk to them and try to convey something positive and, again, progressive and productive, you know?
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's
this,
true.
This has been a great show, you know, but we only have a minute and 50 seconds left on the show.
No!
So
I'm like, wow, that went quick. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Miss Whitney, we'd like to thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. It was a great conversation. With some great points made, you know, from everybody. And it just, I like when we have these conversations like this because it's inspiring, you know. I mean, I can't speak for the audience, but I can speak for me because I like learning. So when we get people on the show, me and John always say we always learn something. If it's not about ourselves, we learn something new about someone else. You know what I mean? So we really do appreciate having you. If you have one positive thing to say to the audience before we leave this evening, what would that be?
I think that I always lead with this. I hashtag it a lot. It's just be authentically you. I think that when you take yourself and you look at yourself in the mirror and you allow yourself to just take in who that person is and you appreciate that person, you'll start to find different ways to even expel upon that a little bit, to grow a little bit more in just that person, not trying to be anyone else, but just being you.
Yep, I live that. I love that. And Mr. John L. Brown?
Yes, I would like to thank Miss Whitney Living for coming on the show today. And I'll tell you, we had a really good show. And thank you, and God bless you, okay? And back
absolutely.
To you,
and
Ms.
thank everybody for joining us. We really appreciate that as well. For some people,
you know,
we really appreciate it, and thank you, and we'll see you next week. And together, we're going to try to make a difference, you guys. We're doing this. Uplift the community.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. Good night.